chapter number 8 and verse number 8, victory over the world. Amen. We'll give a few things out this morning and discuss a few more things about the world. Romans chapter 8 and verse 8. Amen. All right. How many are excited about the springtime coming up? Amen. Seems like it's summertime already, though. Amen. We bypassed spring. I think we bypassed winter, too.
I think
it just kind of went right into things. Amen. But it's nice and warm. And next week is Easter Sunday. Only one service next week. Again, this is a good opportunity to invite people out. This is a time where people will normally go to church at least once a year. If they're going to go, they're going to go on Easter. So get to your neighbors, get to your coworkers, let them know they're going to be going anywhere. You would be very, very much delighted to have them come here. Amen. I've got a whole bunch of rain checks that I'm cashing in saying, look, you said last year you were coming. And so this is this year. So now come. And several have already said they are coming until I have to give them a rain check for next year. Amen. But then there's also coming up the Start a Trend, Bring a Friend Day, which is the next week afterwards, 23rd. And that'll be for anybody that's not a member of the Shining Light Baptist Church. Looking forward to that as well. Amen. All right. Romans chapter number 8, verse 8. That's our memory verse. Then go ahead and put your fingers over in 1 John chapter 5, because we'll go there right afterwards. 1 John chapter 5. And go through those very quickly. 1 John chapter 5. And we covered this last year, so we're not going to cover that except for just reading it. 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 4. And then Romans 8, 8. Romans 8, 8. And then 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. Everybody's got those two verses. Amen. All right, let's go to 1 John 5, 4 first. And read that one. Amen. Let's read that one together. 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And then back over Romans 8, 8. And Romans 8, 8 says, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Father, bless now the next moments that we have together as we discuss the lesson for today. Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts and help us to understand more of what the world tries to do to us, Lord, and tries to entrap us and ensnare us. Lord, may you get all praise, honor, and glory from what we do, what we think and say today here. And I do pray that you would help the linguists as well as they get prepared. Go over to Saipan, Lord. I pray that you would meet the need there for the housing, then also for the building that they need to secure as well for the upcoming year when they have to get out of the one that they're in. Bless now in the meeting today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. All right. Victory over the world is the topic of discussion. We talked about a host of things last week. Talked about the different times the word world is used in the scriptures. And then we looked at this area as well. Everything in the world is not sin and sinful. There are some great things in the world that we can use. The Bible says that we just don't want to abuse the world. Amen. So we looked at many things like that. Today we're going to actually get into your outline. So let me give you some things to fill in your books right now to get that out of the way. And you should be on page, what page are you guys on? 36. All right, 36. Let me get you to fill in the first Roman numeral and the first A and B. Roman numeral 1 is faith in God's purpose. Faith in God's purpose. That's Roman numeral 1. Faith in God's purpose. And that's pretty much what we're going to be talking about today. Then A is God's purpose is according to his timetable. God's purpose is according to his timetable. God's purpose is according to his timetable. Then B, God's purpose is always trustworthy. God's purpose is always trustworthy. And that's the thought that we're going to center on today. All right. Everybody got that? Everybody need me to repeat that? Amen. All right. I'm not going to give you Roman number 2 because we probably won't get there today. But God, faith in God's purpose, then God's purpose is according to his timetable, and then God's purpose is always trustworthy. And you say, preacher, what has that got to do with victory over the world? Well, God has a purpose for your life and my life. And that purpose for your life and my life is going to be A, according to his timetable, and then B, it's going to be trustworthy. So now how does the world play into this? Anybody want to take a guess? How does the world play into this? We're talking about victory over the world. How does the world play into this situation? If we know that God has a purpose for us, we know God's purpose is according to his timetable, and God's purpose is always trustworthy. How does the world play into this whole scheme of things? Tamara? Amen. Okay. Tamara says the world has its own timetables, not the timetables that God has. That's got its own purposes and wants to kind of get you on their timetable. Amen. And there's a lot of truth to that. Remember, we had you last week look at the temptation of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Anybody remember what happened on that temptation? What did Satan tempt the Lord to do? And what did he say in regards to that temptation? Luke chapter 4, let's go over there real quick. Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4 and verse number 5, because Satan tried to do the same thing. There was a purpose, and he tried to thwart that purpose. Luke chapter 4 and verse number 5 is where the temptation began to start. And notice what it says down there. In verse number 5, the devil takes him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the what world? A moment of time, and the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for this is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will I give it. If thou therefore will, what's that word? Worship me, all shall be thine. So what did he try to do with the world? And God's purpose and God's timetable. What did he try to do? Anybody? What was he trying to do there? Brother Swanty.
He's tempting the Lord with the world to step out of God's plan.
Exactly. God has a purpose. Now, are all the worlds and things like that going to be Jesus's down here? Yes. It's technically it's all his then, but that's not why he came. He's going to get it down here. Satan says, OK, let's bring that all the way back down here. Do it now. But what is it going to cost Jesus?
Everything.
Worship. He's got to worship Satan. So now how does that play into what God is trying to do? The devil is trying to do with the world and God's purpose for you and God's timetable for you and God's trustworthiness for you. What is he trying to do? Beth?
Circumvent
the process. And that's what he's trying to do. He's trying to use the world to do the same thing. So the whole emphasis behind this Roman numeral number one is that we've got to have faith in God's purpose because God does have a purpose for your life. And then second of all, God's purpose is according to his timetable, not Satan's.
That's right.
And Satan will always try to lure you out of God's timetable. How many young people have been lured out of God's timetable by getting pregnant before they got married or marrying the wrong person? And they've been lured out of God's timetable and God's purpose. So they married the wrong person and then they get into a relationship that's less than desirable. And then down the road, they find out that, man, this didn't work. This is not right. What happened? The world or Satan tried to lure you out of God's purpose to get your own purpose fulfilled and his timetable. And so that's the whole goal. And so this lesson is teaching that you and I do have purpose. God has a purpose. And second of all, God has a timetable for you. Not everything is going to be right now. And then you've got to actually trust his timetable. Amen. That his timetable does work. By the way, does God's timetable work? Yes. It said in the fullness of time, Jesus came. Jesus didn't come 1 second too early. He didn't come 1 second too late. Moses came not 1 second too early and not 1 second too late. Folks say, well, he should have came at a different time because all these things, they couldn't have children. That didn't stop Jochebed and Jochebed and Amram. Didn't stop them from having kids. Amen. And so when you look at this whole Roman numeral run, you and I have got to have faith. God has a purpose for everything and every trial and every challenge the world brings you. By the way, just because you and I are going to be tempted to go outside of God's timetable, is that sin?
Yes, sir.
No. Temptation is not sin. What is sin? Yielding to it. The fact that Jesus was tempted by the world and the things that Satan said, I'll give you all this if you worship me, that's not sin. If he did it, that's sin. Okay? So when you're looking at victory over the world, we've got to understand that God has a purpose, and though the world is here, and though the world is pulling at you, God still has a plan for your life, and he's got a purpose for your life. Amen. And the world is going to try to circumvent that system. Amen. Everybody got that thought? That's the thought for today. Amen. All right. Now, let me read you something that's in the book. The Bible says in 1 John 5:4, the victory that overcomes the world is our faith. Everybody agree with that? Amen. You better, because it's Bible. Amen. It's obvious to all of us that the world is against Christ and against our faith. Would you agree with that?
Yes, sir.
The world is against Christ and it's against our faith. The philosophy of this world tries to discourage a Christian's faith. If the victory over the world is found in faith, how is our faith built and strengthened to overcome? Wow. How is our faith built and strengthened to overcome? Rose? Exactly, by being tested by the world. Are we going to fall for the world? Many a Christian has.
Yes, sir, Pastor, we have.
But that's how we're tempted, and we're strengthened by that which we're tested on in the world. Was not Jesus tempted in the same way? Yes. And he didn't bow down. The command the stone to be made bread. Guess what? He didn't bow. Give you all the kingdoms of the world. He didn't bow down. Throw yourself down. His angels will protect you. He said no. So it's the same for you and I. We're going to see that our faith has got to be not in people, not in our baptisms, not in our marriages, not in our jobs, not in our children, not in any other thing other than this word of God. Everything else going to let you down. Your education is going to let you down. Your sociology is going to let you down. Your physiology is going to let you down. Everything is going to let you down but the word of God. And guess what? Everything else is suspect but the word of God. And so when the world comes testing you, if your faith is not in this book, you're going to fall.
Yes, sir, you will, Pastor, you will.
That's just the fact of the matter. God has a purpose, and Satan knows that God has a purpose. And so Satan's job is to get you to take his bait. Think about it. Do you believe that God has one man for one woman in the world? Everybody believe that?
Yes.
Then how does Satan get us to fall? By getting the one that's not meant for you.
That's right, Pastor.
Amen. I mean, let's just be honest.
That is right.
I mean, many of us can attest to the fact that we have people in our lives, or maybe some of us have been divorced. Mm-hmm. That means that the first person that I had wasn't right. Some way, shape, fashion, or form. Or they were right, I just got rid of them because I was wrong. Either one of the two, amen. Either they were right and I was wrong, or they were wrong and I was right, amen. But Satan says, okay, let's pull you out. God's got a purpose for you, but let me get you over here first. And then when Mr. Right or Mrs. Right comes along, guess what? I'm already wrong, amen.
Amen, Pastor.
So let's talk about this a little bit. Notice what Jesus said in verse number 8 of Luke chapter 4. Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan. Why? For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Oh, if we could ever just get that in our minds and get it planted there and have it every time Satan comes to offer us something. If we could just have that down and say, get thee behind me, Satan. I'm not going to fall for your junk.
Amen, Pastor.
I'm going to worship the Lord. Him only am I going to serve. Don't give me any of your garbage. And by the way, can you stop Satan from offering you garbage?
No. You cannot, Pastor.
I mean, we've done everything in our power to get ourselves on the do not call list for the peddlers. How many people still get peddlers calling you? If they don't call you on your home phone, they're going to call you on your cell phone. They don't call you on your cell phone, they're going to put something on your door. If they don't put something on your door, they're going to find you in the mall. I was over there at the mall and AT&T got me. Are you satisfied with your Cox? I said, no, I'm not satisfied. Well, come over and talk to me. I said, I should have never said that. Amen. I should have never said that. We can do this and we can do that and we can do this and we can give you that. I said, can you give it to me for free? He said, well, no, then I'd be out of a job. I said, well, you can't help me if you can't give it to me for free. I don't want it. He said, well, how can I help you? I said, for free. He said, well, no, come on, sir, be real. I said, I'm being honest. I said, that's how you can help me. Give it to me for free. That's one less bill I got to pay. He said, well, how are you going to help me out? I said, well, I got a gospel track here I can give you. I said, and this is for free. See, free things are available. He said, well, I'm sorry, but my plan is not. I said, but mine is. <There you go. laughs> And so he didn't change my bill. Amen. But I did give him, you know, what I could give him. All right. So faith in God's purpose. So our faith, victory over the world is going to be found in our faith. And our faith is going to be built in strength, strengthened to overcome by being tested and tempted with God's purpose and God's plan. And God does have a purpose. So let's look at that, investigate that here just for a moment. Amen. Let me read something to you here. To overcome the pull of the world, we need to have faith in the plan and purpose of God. Now, here's a loaded question. Do you know the plan and purpose of God for your life? That's a loaded question. Because you should. It's right here. It's right here. For ladies, it's here. For men, it's here. For children, it's here. Children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands. Husbands, love your wives. Mm-hmm. That is the plan and the purpose of your life. Everything else falls around that. And you say, preacher, that's so basic. Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. It's right here. Everything else goes around that. Children, obey your parents and Lord. That is so basic. If you just obey your parents, you'll have a good life. Husbands, if we just love our wives, we'd have a tremendous life according to the word of God. Wives, if you just submit to the will of God for your life and submit to your husband, guess what? You'd have a wonderful life. Yes, sir. But you don't know who I'm married to. I know who I'm married to.
Yes, sir.
And again, that goes back to what we talked about before. If you married the right person, that wouldn't be a big issue.
Amen.
I see you had to go in there, preacher. I'm just saying, you know, faith. The world's going to tempt you. And it's going to tempt you by what you have. And one of the things you have is a spouse. If you married the wrong spouse, that wrong spouses should have spouses. Amen. That spouse that you married may be the very one to take you out of the will of God, because you were never meant to have that spice. Get some water here. I had some cayenne pepper last night.
Amen, Pastor.
Spice, amen.
Amen.
My wife has spice, so amen. I'm good. I got a spice and a spouse, amen. All right. So to overcome the pull of the world, we need to have faith in the plan and purpose of God. When we feel the tug and temptation to go away from God, we must realize that God has a plan for every trial and every challenge of our faith. Listen to this. Many times in the midst of difficult situations, people lose sight of what God is working to accomplish in their lives and jump God's plan for Satan's worldly plan.
Wow.
Amen. That's a mouthful. And that's why Satan is very good at what he does. Again, what is the world designed to attract of you? Your flesh. How many of y'all got a flesh? Pinch yourself. We all got one.
Oh, amen, Pastor. Amen.
All of us have a flesh, and all of us have a sinful nature that has one thing that describes itself. I want to be first. Yes. I want to be pleased. I want to be satisfied. I want what I want. I want it now. How many of y'all get tired of going to a restaurant and your food comes late and the people around you get theirs first and you got there first? Does that upset you?
Yeah.
You know why? Because we look at the fact that I was here first.
Yes, sir.
You know, it doesn't matter that they only ordered dessert and then they're gone and you ordered a five-course meal. I was here first, so my meal should be first. They said, well, it doesn't take long to scoop up some ice cream and give it to them. I don't care. I was here first.
That's right, Pastor.
We all have that mentality, and Satan knows it. And the world will capitalize on that. So what do? We write a memo to the manager. I was here first. And so I should get a discount on my food.
Amen.
I should get 10% off. Mm-hmm. On top of my military discount. And on top of my senior citizen discount. So that's 30% for me. If not, I will never come and be a patron in your restaurant again. And the restaurant manager will actually fall for that oftentimes, amen, because they want your business. By the way, go over to Matthew chapter 11. I'll show you something here. Matthew chapter 11. By the way, it's not just us lowly Christians that go through this. Matthew 11. And Matthew 11, the topic of discussion is John the Baptist. And John the Baptist got a little discouraged.
Yes, sir, he did.
And he got a little discouraged about Jesus. And he wanted to know if Jesus was going to be the one. Notice what he says up there in verse number 2. Now, when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Now, wait a minute. Didn't the gospel of John open up with John the Baptist before he went into prison saying, behold the who? The Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world? Was it not John the Baptist that said, behold the Lamb? Was it not John that said, he must increase, I must decrease? But here the world's circumstances have now crowded in on John the Baptist's life, and he finds himself isolated in prison, about to get his head chopped off. And so he sends some people to Jesus to ask if it indeed is true what I said about him. Is he the one, or should we look for another? When he himself boldly proclaimed that he was the one. What am I saying? Sometimes even people like John the Baptist and like you and I can get discouraged at the way things are going. The world seems like it's got another plan out there that we can grab a hold of because it just, this is not working. This Jesus business is just not working, John the Baptist thought. He's coming with mercy and grace, and I came with hellfire and brimstone. I said, turn or burn. He's forgiving everybody. I said, look, bring forth some fruit, meat for repentance. He's just saying, I forgive you, now go and sin no more. That's foolishness. No, you need to do it my way.
Amen, Pastor. Amen.
Jesus didn't do it his way.
That's right. That's right.
Jesus did it his way. And John got a little disillusioned.
Yep.
The world wants to catch us at a low point. And if the world can catch us at a low point, it can lure you a lot easier. It can lure you a little easier. Maybe a chronic illness that I have. And I think God's unfair for giving it to me. Maybe a death in my family. And I think God's unfair. Maybe a sickness that I got that I didn't think I shouldn't have gotten. Maybe a job that I lost that I didn't think I should have lost. It's not my fault. Maybe a wayward child who I poured into him the word of God and the ways of God, they still went wayward. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm unwed and I'm unsatisfied because nobody seems to want me. Maybe a lost opportunity that I had in an engagement, a financial opportunity. Maybe a financial loss that I had and the world has something better to offer me. Maybe my character's been ruined or my purity's been ruined or I've been assaulted or molested and on and on and on I can go. And the world can mar you, but God marvelously wants to uplift us through those things. Satan always says, you know what? Life is crowding in on you. It's not fair. Don't wait on God's purpose. I got something better for you. What are you talking about? Victory over the world.
Yes.
Is the world going to be mean to us? Yes. Mm-hmm. But guess what? Jesus is always going to be marvelous to us.
Yes.
And he can use the things of the world. How was Jesus Christ strengthened? By saying no to Satan. He said, no, I'm not going to command these stones to be made bread. It is written, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. He said, look, get thee behind me, Satan. It is written, thou shalt worship the Lord, and him only shalt thou serve. Each time he turned down Satan when he really could have used those things that Satan was giving him. Could he have used some bread? Yeah, he could have used some bread. He had been fasting 40 days. Could he have used some of the riches of the world? Yeah, he could have used that, but he was God, so he didn't need that. What am I saying? Sometimes harsh circumstances lead us to question what we once believed, that God really is good and God's got a good purpose for our lives. But we've got to have faith in God's purpose. We must have faith in God's plan for our lives and not let anything that happens convince us that God does not love us. Because sometimes we can think God doesn't love us because he let us go through a bad situation. God left me unemployed for a long time, or God left me sick, or God left me this way or that way. But that's not true. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Notice what the encouragement is there. 1 Corinthians 10, 13. And 1 Corinthians 10, 13. Who's there that can read that for me there? 1 Corinthians 10, 13. Go ahead, Beth.
There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it.
Amen. So in other words, if Satan comes trying to lure you away from God's purpose and God's plan, say, wait a minute. God's going to always give me a way out.
Yes, sir, he is.
Even if it's just saying no. Like Jesus said, no. Even if it's just saying no. God's always going to work it out. By the way, I'm a firm believer of Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good.
Good.
To them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. God has a purpose for your life. If you're being obedient to the purpose of God for your life, then you keep hold of Romans 8:28. All things work together for good. So whatever God has here, I can keep the course. I can still stay straight as Satan tries to pull me this way, or as he tries to pull me over here. The world's going to always try to pull me away from what God wants me to do. But because of Romans 8:28, I know that all things work together for good. So that pull is just going to strengthen me and resolve me to stay the course. That pull to go over this way towards the world is going to strengthen me and resolve me to stay the course, because Satan's going to always try to pull me off of God's course for my life and off God's purpose. He's always going to try to offer you something. And you say, preacher, how can I know when Satan's trying to get me off course? When he gets you out of the will of God for this book. If God said it, that settles it. There's no excuses. There are no ifs, ands, or buts. If God said it, that settles it. And Satan will try to pull you away from the plan of God, where there's children obey your parents in the Lord, where there's wives be submissive, where there's husbands love your wives. He will try to pull you away from this book. And something as simplistic as seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness will become elusive to you. And it's so simple. Put God first. Put him first in the morning when I wake up. Put him first when I go to bed at night. Put him first throughout the day. Whatever God says, I'm going to do it. I'm going to obey him. Where he says I will be, where he says I will go, I'm going to be there. And Satan will say, don't do it.
That's right.
And it sounds simple. But the world has so many pulls and attractions and allurements along this road and this purpose that God has for you. And that's the victory that we have. Look at God's purpose according to his timetable just briefly here. And for that, let's go over to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Most of us know this already. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. In Ecclesiastes, Solomon in his wisdom has tried a lot of things. He lets you know everything has a time. He says to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, time to pluck up that which is planted, time to kill, time to heal, time to break down, time to build up, time to weep, time to laugh, time to mourn, time to dance, time to cast away stones, time to gather stones together, time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow. Time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. Then he sums it all up down there at the bottom. Notice verse 11. He hath made everything beautiful in whose time? His time. So he lets you know that he's got a purpose, but then he's got a timetable as well. And in his timetable, he says there's a lot of time for a lot of different things and everything has its time, but I'm going to make everything beautiful in my time. And sometimes we've got to go the long roll of being pulled by the world and being pulled by the world just to see if we're going to stand. And if it does nothing else, it shows us where we're weak.
Amen, Pastor. Amen.
Come on now. Somebody's got to say amen on that.
Amen, Pastor.
It shows us
amen.
Where we're weak. God shows me my weak areas all the time.
Yes.
And he says, you're weak in that area and you need to get strengthened. And then I let the world pull me over here. He says, you're weak in that area. And you're weak in that area. And you need to be strengthened. What am I saying? God has a purpose. And the world oftentimes can show us where we're weak. God has a timetable. And God says, I will fulfill it in my time and not your time. Mature Christian realizes that God is always at work in our lives, even in the down times, in difficult times. When God is working, it doesn't seem like God is working. But that's when he's working the best. When the times are tough and when they are difficult and when the years are lean and when you don't get that which you think you should have, that's when he's working his best. Think about it. The best time that God was working in Jesus' life was the time he was fasting 40 days and Satan came to tempt him when he was at his weakest. That's when he's being tempted and being strengthened at his best. It says in the book, in the difficult times, God is working just as surely as he is in the easy times. Mm-hmm. Overcoming faith requires that we trust God even when we do not see or understand what he is doing. And that was Job's claim to fame. Go over to Job chapter 23. Job chapter 23. One of Job's claim to fame was, hey, I can't see what God's doing, but it's not going to stop me. Mm-hmm. Job chapter 23. Notice what Job 23 says. Then Job answered and said, even to this day is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. Basically, I'm going to tell God a thing or two. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. Will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would put strength in me. There the righteous might dispute with him, so should I be delivered forever from my judge. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there. Backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand that I cannot see him. Notice verse 10, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. He said, I've done what he's done, what he's told me to do. I've had faith in God's purpose for my life, and I've had faith according to his timetable. I've not let go. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I've esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Job, in other words, said, you know what? God gave me a course to take, and I don't care what you say. I'm going to stay the course. I'm going to continue going this direction. And life's not going to always be good for you. Life's not going to, now, it's not going to be as bad as Job, I hope. But it's not going to always be good. Bad things are going to happen. The world's going to pull at you. If you're going to stand for God, and if you're going to stand for God's purpose, and you're going to try to wait on God's timetable, the devil will surely try to pull you away from God's timetable. He does not want you to wait for God. He doesn't want you to wait on God. Neither does he want you to believe that God is trustworthy, that God's going to give you what you have coming to you. He's going to say, God's holding out. Is that not what he told Eve? God's holding out on you, Eve. This tree that God says off limits, God's holding out. This actually is a good tree. And what happened? Well, you know the rest of the story.
Yes, sir, we do.
What am I saying? In difficult times, God is working on your life. When the world tries to pull you, God is working. And when the world's trying to pull you away from what you know is right to do by the word of God, God is working. And you can have faith and you can overcome the world by having God's purpose as your goal. Mm-hmm. And then sticking with God's timetable. God's going to give me what I've got in due time. As a child of God, you and I can rest assured that God has a special purpose and a special plan for each one of us. Our goal is just to wait on God's timetable, and we'll look at the trustworthiness next week. But we've got to believe that God, even when we don't understand what he's doing, knows what he's doing.
Amen, Pastor.
And trust him and keep doing his will no matter what. Is it going to get tough? It is.
Yes, sir,
is the world going to try to pull us away?
Oh, yes,
they are. But the victory comes in knowing the purpose, sticking God's timetable, and trusting God the whole way.
Amen.
That's where the victory comes. Amen. Our memory verse for next week is going to be 1 Corinthians 10:13. We already know that one, but let's do that one anyway. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. That is one verse that I have memorized and has been so helpful to me my entire Christian life. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Faith in God's purpose is going to help us overcome the world. And then God's purpose is according to his timetable, having faith in God's timetable that God knows what he's doing and he will do it. We just have to wait on him. Father, bless now in the next moments that we have, Lord, the refreshments that we have across the way. God, we know that all of us are going to be tempted by the world. We're going to be pulled by the world. And Lord, we need to have faith in your purpose for our life. Help us to get into the Bible, the Word of God, and find our purpose. And we find our purpose, Lord, to stick with it. And know that in your timetable, you're going to give us that which we have coming to us. You'll bless and help us to know that your timetable is so trustworthy. And in time, you'll meet the needs that we have. Bless now the refreshments. Bless now the break time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. You are dismissed. Refreshments are next door. Don't forget, we've got our missionaries here, Swanti and Linda Lindquist. They'll be going to Saipan. Won't be with us for 2 years. Wow.